Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three, do you think, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Familiar, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I know you wanted to sing along. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Millions of children have grown up hearing these words, which started every broadcast of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. They watched as Fred Rogers walked through the door, took off his coat, put on a cardigan knit by his mother, and changed from dress shoes to casual, comfortable sneakers. Mr. Rogers talked to them about feelings, about being scared, about difficult things such as death and divorce and war. He talked a lot about feelings, helping children to learn to express them, to learn that it is not bad to have feelings, though it might not always be good to act on them. He said, when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. He cared deeply about children and their fears. He said, the world is not always a kind place. That's something all children learn for themselves, whether we want them to or not, but it's something they really need our help to understand. As he taped the shows, he thought about one child, not the hundreds or thousands who might be watching, but just one child, speaking directly as though that child were right in front of him. He often sang a song with these lyrics, it's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you, but it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new, I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you. It's you I like. Think about that. Accepting someone not for what they have done or what they might become someday, but who they are in the moment, who they are right now. Telling them that they are special because they are who they are. Telling them that they are loved simply because they are. Let's look at our gospel message for today. A lawyer seeking to test Jesus asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asks what the Torah says, and the lawyer provides the correct answer. Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." The lawyer, seeking to justify himself, asks, "And who is my neighbor?" This appears to be a legitimate question, one subject to genuine dispute. Instead of answering directly, Jesus tells a parable. In many stories of the time, the third character in the series is the hero. Thus, when the audience heard that the priest and the Levite had passed by, they knew that the next person to be mentioned would be the one held up as an example. The lawyer would have been expecting to hear that the next person would resemble him, one well-versed in the Torah, one who knew the law and kept it, one who is an upright citizen. Jesus said, "A Samaritan." This would have puzzled the audience. A Samaritan. No, Jesus, you have the story all wrong. The hero can't be a Samaritan. The disciples must have been puzzled too. Hadn't they just been sent into a Samaritan village ahead of Jesus and not been welcomed? Hadn't James and John asked to be allowed to send fire down from heaven to destroy the village for refusing hospitality to Jesus? Jews and Samaritans worshiped the same God, but they did so in different ways. For the Jews, the true place of worship was in Jerusalem, the site of the temple. For Samaritans, Mount Gerizim was the place chosen by God as the site of worship. Jews and Samaritans tended to view one another with distrust. Thus, Jesus' choice of a Samaritan, an outsider, as the hero, stunned his listeners. And Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the lawyer, who couldn't even utter the word Samaritan, said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus replied, "Go and do likewise." When you hear this familiar story, with whom do you identify? The priest? The Levite? The Samaritan? Don't we want to be the hero of the story? After all, we know the law. We learned the Ten Commandments in our youth. We can answer as a lawyer when asked what the law says. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." As was stated in our reading from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." And our reading from the opening words of Colossians, "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among ourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God." The writer is praising the Colossians for their faithfulness to the gospel message and stating their prayers are unceasing that they continue to bear fruit in every good work as they grow in their knowledge of God. Wait a minute. If this is our thought process, we are not identifying with the Samaritan. We're identifying with the lawyer, the one who knows what Scripture teaches but wants to define terms to justify and limit the extent of his actions. Now, of course, I've seen this congregation indeed act as the Samaritan did, caring for others, even those who are not part of this community of Buffalo. I've seen your service to the food pantry, your efforts in providing hygiene kits, your support of mission efforts in the wider church today. In so many ways, you do what Jesus commanded when he said, go and do likewise. But now, I want you to look through the eyes of another character in the story, the eyes of the man who was injured. Let's see how that affects the way that we view the parable and what Jesus is trying to teach us today. A man was traveling alone on the treacherous road between Jerusalem and Jericho when he was accosted by bandits who beat him, took his possessions, and left him for dead. He sees a priest approaching, and he feels relief, for this man of God will provide assistance. But he does not, passing on the other side. Then he sees a Levite. Now this one surely will stop and help one of his own people. But he does not, passing on the other side. Then comes someone he considers an enemy. For all he knows, this Samaritan stooping over him is going to finish what the robber started. Instead, the Samaritan, moved with pity, provides him with medical care, puts him on his own animal, brings him to an inn, and cares for him. And the next day, the Samaritan pays for his room and board, not just for the last night, but for days into the future. And he tells the innkeeper to take care of the man, and if any more is owed, he will repay him on his return. What do you think is the response of the wounded man? What would be your response if this were your story? Would it not expand your own understanding of what it means to love the neighbor as yourself? Of what it means to be a neighbor? To be treated this way by one you thought was your enemy? Stories often help us to understand things in ways that a mere recitation of facts cannot. Do you remember my sermon last week as I spoke of my adventure traveling from Aberdeen, South Dakota, back home to Buffalo, getting stranded as my car broke down? I could have told you the simple facts that I was traveling from Aberdeen, my car broke down, and I was towed twice before the alternator belt was replaced and my vehicle was running again. Not too exciting, is it? But the story that I told provided many more details, showing the difficulty of the journey back and the kindness of people who went out of their way to help me. I could easily have used that story today as an example of what it means to be neighbor and what it means to act as a priest or Levite and not have the time to help someone in need. Jesus' parable of what it is to be a neighbor touches us on a deeper level because it allows us to put ourselves into the shoes of the various characters as we consider how Jesus is calling us through this familiar story to show mercy to others, and I believe to also accept mercy from others. Mr. Rogers said, "When I was a boy and would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.' And when you see people who are helping, you will also see people who are being helped. As Mr. Rogers said, all of us at one time or another need help. Whether we're giving or receiving help, each one of us has something valuable to bring to this world. That's one of the things that connects us as neighbors. In our own way, each one of us is a giver and a receiver," he said. Once a person you're not expecting to help you treats you as a neighbor, showing you mercy and kindness, showing that you have value as a human being, what is your response? As Mr. Rogers said, the underlying message of the neighborhood is that if someone cares about you, it's possible that you'll care about others. You are special, and so is your neighbor. That part is essential, that you're not the only special person in the world. The person you happen to be with at the moment is loved too, he said. It is through our experiences of being loved and cared for that we begin to glimpse how much God loves us, that God sees us as special and lovable just as we are. Our actions toward our neighbor are a response to that love. In 1997, Mr. Rogers received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Emmys. During his acceptance speech, he said, "So many people have helped me to come here this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take along with me 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are, those who have cared for you and wanted what is best for your life? 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. The camera panned across the audience as people took those 10 seconds to think of the people who had helped them in their lives, sometimes stopping to focus on those with tears in their eyes. When those 10 seconds were up, he said, "Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel that they have made." Let's try it for ourselves. Take 10 seconds to think of those who have helped you to become who you are, those who have cared for you, those who have been neighbor to you, those who have shown you how to be a neighbor to others. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time.